Sometimes Forex trading can be a wild and woolly place to be. But Forex trading doesn't have to be the Badlands for you, partner. Instead, hunker down and bend your ear. You'll be burning the breeze in no time here at the Truth About FX Podcast.
Hi there, it's Walter, and today we have Frank Walbaum. Now, Frank was a trader who traded part-time while holding down a full-time job, and he's transitioned into managing accounts. Now, Frank's going to talk about how to transition from part-time trading to trading for a living. He's also going to talk about difficult clients. He's going to talk about when you should take a break with your trading, and also how to adjust your life to your trading styles, because that's really what it's all about. And that's why most of us get into trading. So tell us a little bit about how you got into trading, Frank.
Yeah, well, Walter, actually, great talking to you here. And the thing is, I got into trading when handling some currencies myself on behalf of my old company. We were traveling a lot, and my boss was saying, hey, Frank, you know, we'll give you some euros. Can you exchange that for our next trip to Australia? You possibly get some Australian dollars for that one, and just like calculate how much you need, how much we need to pay for our upcoming traveling expenses and stuff. And the thing was that's how I started. I mean, pretty much with a hands-on approach. I took a couple of dollars, went to the local money changer here in Asia, and then exchanging the funds for our upcoming trip. And then while traveling, just doing the receipts and stuff and coming back, I found there was a fluctuation. And that was before the crisis 2008 that was happening. And I just found that makes sense. You know, there's a fluctuation. I was looking at the charts in a very limited way at the time. But then I found there's something going on. You know, maybe that's something I should need or I should possibly be able to take a closer look at. Then coming back from the trip, various trips, of course, I said, to Thailand or everywhere in Asia, actually, when I was still in the TV business at that time. And I found the fluctuations quite interesting. So before 2008, I was saying as well, the US dollar is pretty much under pressure. Why should I not get some US dollars? And I exchanged literally a few thousand bucks from my own salary and put it below my pillow and kept it. And then the crisis hit and I was like, holy smokes, now I know how trading works. You know, I have a lot of money now. I've made just by the appreciation of the US dollar, and that was kind of good fun. And what I did then was putting all that money I made into one of these online brokerage company. And since I was the wise guy at that time, I really was happy as well. I started trading and I burned it all, basically. So I burned it all, and then that was the time when I was needed. I thought I kind of need to kind of look deeper into what's out there, who could give me some valuable advice, because I know that banks are making money with it, hedge funds are making money with it. So there is a possible way to do the same stuff myself. But as the accounts were burned already, I was in need to more, into more webinars, into more analysis myself before doing the same thing again and again, right? So that's basically how I got into it. Really a hands-on approach. And every time I'm talking about that with bankers or fund managers, they are laughing about it, because that's a totally different approach to what people in the real industry normally been doing. But I'm kind of happy that I really got it into it from a different way or from a different angle.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what do you think you did in the beginning with your first online account that was a mistake? Which mistakes did you make in the beginning?
The mistakes were that, as I said, I was like a guru from the very beginning, because at that crisis, I made a few thousand bucks within the matter of days or weeks, right? So, and I was very wise, I thought, and I just put the money on the account, and I had some trades going not into my direction, and I let these trades going on, and then I was anyways, you know, it's going to come back, you know, and just having a bit of a drawdown, and then the drawdown was growing bigger and bigger, you know, from 10%, 20%, and then 30%, 50%. Whatever it was, and I added onto my losing trades, and they were becoming bigger and bigger, and the accounts were burned kind of really rather quickly, you know. So that was really bad stuff I did, but I learned from it. I learned from it and went into where I'm now, right? So that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember tripling my Forex account the first night I opened it, and it was probably the worst thing that could have happened, because you feel so confident when you do something like that, and you kind of draw a straight line to the moon, and you think, okay, you know, I'm just going to, you know, this is going to be easy street. So you were risking too much per trade and things like that, I suppose?
Exactly, very much. So, of course, I had no idea about like the risk aversion in the markets, that if one or the other currency moves like a tanker, it could kind of really move on for ages, right? Especially the pound and the yen pair, for example. You know, if that one moved, and I was into one of the trades at that time, I still remember that quite well, that moved and went on and was like, okay, yeah, it's going to go up again at some point. And I added into my losing position, and I had no idea on how to limit my risk, about how important it was to play stop loss between interesting chart marks or chart formations. I had no idea on how to calculate my risk per trade beforehand. You know, like all this approach you get to know only after a while, and you possibly only can get wiser or can get more knowledge after you've really burned something yourself, after you've really made those mistakes. And now I'm also kind of going out to the world here and always talk to my fellow trading friends and other buddies I get to know along the way, saying like, hey, really don't do the same mistake, you know, like please just play small, kind of take lower risks in the markets, because only by keeping the funds essentially in your account you can grow them as well, right? And you will eventually have these losing days, weeks, and even month, right? And I've had a good friend of mine recently as well. He's been doing the same stuff, and he was like, oh, Frank, can you do some teaching for me, which I did. And after like 3 months, he went back to his own back approach again. He had like 2-3 months in a row where he growed like 10%, then the second month was about 20-30%, and the third month he made like 60% growth. And I was like, dude, pull the plug now. That's everything you could do, actually. That's just, it couldn't be any better, right? Just like limit your risk. No, I know how the markets are working. And then just a couple of days ago, I logged back into the account, into his account. I looked at it and I was like wiped out, you know? So the entire thing happening over and over again, obviously to also our fellow traders in the markets. And it's like, it's a tough thing to get a risk, like a time-proven approach to the markets, because the markets sometimes move in small cycles or in like within low volatility. And then, you know, there's like a news event, like the election in the US, Trump won, you know, like the currency takes off. And then out of a sudden, it's kind of being, upside down again, you know, and stuff like that is happening all over again. And you got to be prepared for it. You got to be prepared to lose and pull the plug when it doesn't work in your favor. Just like, take the losses and move on, right?
Yeah. So how did you develop your style of trading? So you obviously in the beginning were just kind of basically gambling and doing wild risk taking and just sort of by the seat of your pants and that sort of thing. But then how did you refine it and hone in on your ultimate approach?
Possibly I'm actually now on the same boat as the guys who are listening to our great podcast we are getting together right now. So Walter, you were like one of my mentors at that time. I was searching on the FX Street website, and there was like a guy from the US I was really enjoying listening to, and eventually I met him at a traders convention in Barcelona, and you were there as well, Walter. I've heard from you as well. I've just joined your webinars every now and then from FX Street, from that website. And long story short, that was the good stuff when you get the personal touch as well. So when you listen to fellow mentors on the web, and when you check on how they are doing or how they are teaching, and of course there's a few blokes out there who kind of have an idea, but it's just a self-marketing thing, right? So the best teaching lessons are rather free in the markets, are of they're like, you don't have to pay very much, right? Get a few books, which is how I started. I bought myself a few books. Of course, these trading books are not the cheapest ones, but if you rather buy a trading or a book about basic strategies about trading or about analysis of the markets and stuff, which is possibly worth $50 to $100, I would rather do that looking back. I would rather do that now as well. Straight go out there, just buy as many books as you can, log into as many webinars as you can, then compared to what I did, then like putting the funds, a few thousand bucks, on my trading account and burning it, right? Because eventually, either way, you will burn the money, and it's rather the knowledge which kind of keeps you going along the way, which is the better stuff to do. So straight invest in your mindset, invest in your future of your trading career by just getting lots of knowledge. And as I said, so I bought about, I think I still have them here. I have about six or seven books about trading. I got some basic ideas out of these books, which helped me a lot, but obviously only while following the markets, only while following the real trading action is when I got to this hands-on approach, right? So I followed guys like you, Walter. I kind of adapted your strategy, which is actually a similar strategy. I could really talk about that stuff as well. So of course, then along the way, you adapt your strategy as well, according to your mindset. And that's the interesting part I would like to talk when we meet in person as well with all you guys who are listening to us now. You know, like just get a bit of here and there and then kind of put that together with your mindset. And that's a really a long story as well we can talk about. Put that together and then see how you develop. And I have a few interesting strings which really helped me along the way to kind of get the trigger feeling for myself where I learned like, okay, now it makes sense. So yeah, like, you're mentally rather free from your trades. Of course, every now and then when you're having money on the edge somewhere, right, you can feel that the emotions are like helping you or even not helping you. But when you learn how to do some analysis in the markets, and when you know, okay, that's all I can do and stuff like that, then you get a different, a more professional approach. And then in the end, it's kind of rather, it doesn't matter to you if the market goes up or down. If you're mentally prepared for either way, then, and if you do that step out of your comfort zone, then I think, and you have an edge, I would say, where you are far beyond anybody else in the markets, because we are all like participants in this huge fish tank, and you just want to be rather the shark in the fish tank than the little one who's been eaten by the shark, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. And you kind of prepare, well, at least I prepare myself for the loss when I take the trade. And then if it works out well, that's great. And you can manage it, you know, if it becomes a profitable trade. But you're kind of okay with taking the loss when you pull the trigger on the trade, I suppose. Is that the way you approach it?
Very much, of course, because pretty much I know the risk I'm taking in the markets. I know I'm limiting myself to whatever it is. I mean, we don't need to go into much detail right now. I think it's better when we talk about it later on, which is the interesting part and the core of my strategy, for example. But I'm mentally prepared before I'm entering a trade into what's possibly going to be happening, right? So can I really burn whatever amount X, or what's my reward I could possibly get out of the market when I take risk Y or something? And then mentally beforehand, and I'll just calculate and say, like, okay, this trade will be bringing my account down by percentage X. And if it's not going to happen, say the next day or a week from now or something, because my trade's panning out the way I thought it would be, then I'll say, okay, you know, like there are certain ways where I also towards the month end step back and say, okay, that'll be great. You know, I've made my results already. And just remember as well, like say 1 or 2% a month only makes already as well 20% over a year. And if you can do that on a sustainable basis with a sustainable reward to risk ratio, then you can make money over the long term as well in the markets, and you can sustain whatever crises are happening and stuff. So that's actually when I changed my mentality a lot. And that's, Walter, what I grasped from you and from your book as well, that the mentality of trading and the way you train your mindset is the only or the most important way, so to speak, to kind of to make a living out of the markets, which is what I'm doing right now, right?
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how that transition happened, because obviously you had a full-time job and you were trading on the side, and then you slowly sort of dip your foot into the other side of trading for others and managing money and that sort of thing. So how did you approach that, and how did you make the transition? Because there are a lot of listeners that are probably thinking, things would be really good if I could get my hands on some money and manage some money, but I just don't know how to go about doing that.
Yeah, the tricky thing is, it's maybe too easy to talk about and too easy to say, but just the first thing is like believe in yourself, right? And I've always followed my path in or a certain path in my life, and was saying whatever happens is what's going to bring me either to a positive future, which is like helping my future as well, and if not, then I'll have to kind of afterwards see what was the outcome, right? When I burned my first accounts, I was like, okay, Frank, I gotta learn something out of it, right? What's this gonna teach me? It was teaching me at that time that I have no idea about the markets. I was just so self-confident with my trading approach, which was totally nonsense. I had no clue or whatsoever of what I was doing. I had no idea about how the markets really work. And to be honest, I have still no idea on how the markets really work, but I don't care about it. It's just like I have an approach which is working, and the approach works over time, right? Of course, I have losing trades in a row and I'm a little bit frustrated, but then I step back and I have my certain trigger points where I say, okay, if this or that's going to happen, then I'll have to adjust myself. And even if it's just going out and doing some sports. But there's a few other things, of course, which I'd like to share later on as well, which are like really helping me on how my situation works and how my situation is really helping me at that time as well. So the thing is, it's a bit tricky to say that, but there were a few incidents actually which really helped me. But it's maybe as well, or it has to do just going out in this beautiful, colorful world here with open eyes, talking to people, just talking about what you're doing, being self-confident. And of course, after like a couple of years trading, when you're having a certain track record, you can go out as well and say, hey, this is what I've been doing. You know, this is what you could expect. So if you would trust me, and if you would possibly walking a few steps together, and if you want to place some funds somewhere, I could help you out with that, you know. And if you are confident with what I've been talking to you and with the numbers I've been presenting you, then let's walk along together and trust me with this one, and I'll manage some of your funds. So it was in the end a bit easier than I thought at some point. But obviously as well, I'm not at the point where I was saying, where I would be possibly able to say like, okay, that's so easy, you know, I'm just making the life of, you know, of these, one of the big guys, I'm having a Lamborghini and my flats are being paid for, I'm just like laying by the beach with a notebook and making money. It's tough. Of course, this is hard work. And I always took it after this initial approach, which I've been talking about burning the funds, right? After that initial approach, it was just hard work. It was hard work, and everybody who is like, as well as you, Walter, would agree for sure that it's just it's a professional approach you need to the markets in order to make it work for you. Too many people think, okay, it's this get rich quick theme. It doesn't work. It's purely hard work, a dedicated mindset. And then it's just dedication to the markets and the willingness to kind of live life differently in order to make a sustainable living from that trading.
It's interesting that you talk a lot about mindset. And in the beginning, a lot of people think, what does mindset have to do with it? All I have to do is lock into a profitable trading system and just do it. Like, why? What does mindset have to do with anything? Why do all these people keep talking about mindset? So what would you say to someone who comes up with that question? Because I know in the beginning, it just seems so simple. In a way, really, consistent trading, profitable trading is quite simple, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. It just means that what you do can be simple. And I think one of the things you said was quite interesting as well, where you said you still probably don't understand the markets. And there are a lot of traders who make money from the markets and will claim the same thing. Say, I don't really care why the markets do this or do that. I just know that I have to get in at this point and I have to manage my risk to this amount and, you know, ride the trend or take the swing or whatever and that sort of thing. So I think that's really interesting. But what do you say to people who say, look, Frank, why do you keep talking about mindset? Everyone keeps talking about mindset. All these presenters, this is something that keeps coming up. So why is mindset so critical when you can just simply sit down and follow a profitable trading system?
The thing is, as well, in the end, I broke my trading system and especially my strategy. Say, I broke it down to something I could explain to each and everybody within a matter of like half an hour. I think within 2 hours, everybody would have understood and would kind of be able possibly to do the same stuff herself or himself. But that's not the way. That's not how it works. The mindset kicks in at that time when you are, say, you're self-employed and you're close to firing yourself because you're not performing, right? So if you are your own boss, and if your own boss tells you, Frank, this is really bullshit what you're doing, it doesn't work, you know? Especially if the bills are coming in, you know, like you gotta pay your rent, you gotta pay the petrol for your car if you have one, you gotta pay the train ticket, or you just need to pay for the next flight back home or something, right? So that's the everyday situation which you have in the markets. Either you have a spare job, you have some stuff on the side which you're doing, which I did at the beginning as well, which helped, right? Because if you have like 2, 3, 4 months in a row, which I also had, where I made some money out of in the markets or from the markets, but where it was not enough to cover my costs, of course, you know, and that's where your mindset kicks in and it says like, okay, look, there's another month, actually, I've just made $500. Not too bad, but, you know, my rent's just alone $1,000. Plus, I want to eat and have a beer as well with my mates, right? So there's another $1,000 I need for sure for that, you know? So, yeah, but I only made $500. So, okay, it goes down possibly from your trading account, or you take it away from your savings, or you're selling one of your little gold bars or something. So that works. And then the next month kicks in, right? Same story. Ah, maybe you made $1,000. Okay, half of the expenses are being covered for. But then you're like, okay, My trading doesn't work. I mean, my trading is not, you know, making much progress. But looking back, possibly you could have been saying, okay, but I made like 1.5%. You know, maybe it's just my trading account, which is too low in top deposits. You gotta check on like, hey, how can you grow your trading account? How can you get more funds you manage, or how can you kind of make a higher return? But in the end, it's your mindset which kind of kicks in and says like, okay, welcome back to the reality. We have had 2-3 months. We've made a few thousand bucks, but not enough to pay for all the expenses you need to pay for. And that's the critical part. And you've been talking in one of your recent webinars as well about it. When the reality comes back in and you cannot focus solely on your own trading ideas, on your own strategy, which is when you say drift away from it, and when you see something in the charts, and it still happens actually every now and then. I'm sitting in front of the charts, like after an hour, I'm just getting a coffee and I'm coming back, it's like, hey, this one is not kicking off, but maybe should. I mean, my position is just like it's moving somewhere, it's a bit in positive territory. Yeah, maybe I'm adding into it. And then I'm having a stacked position, always ending up, say, putting some more funds into it when it's kind of on the positive side, and then the market kind of turns around and I'm stepping 2 meters back, looking from afar, and then I'm telling myself there was actually from the very beginning no initial trade possible, because this is totally not my, it's not totally not my trading strategy. But why did I take that trade? Well, I took the trade because I was in need of money to pay my rent. So that's the thing. And if you can break away totally from that and say, okay, I give myself at least the next 5 months, which is always what you've been telling as well, Walter, that you were saying at least you need to get half a year of like funds, not in your trading account, but on your real bank account, where you can say, I don't care, you know, if it's there or not. If I need to pay for the rent, it just goes straight away from that account, right? If you need to go for some food or for some drinks or whatever, you can be paying for that without actually any need of actual money. So I've broken away from that, and I'll told myself, okay, I'm having a year of expenses being paid for. That's what I need. You know, within the next year, whatever happens in the market to me, I'm good. You know, I'm good. And that's why my mindset changes as well when I went to that stage. And there's a few other points actually which are really critical, where I would say as well, hey, you know, like these are really interesting points where you can adjust your mindset with a few very little and easy steps. It involves a bit of calculation, but it's actually a pretty easy calculation. Whenever I'm meeting my math teacher, the old guy who was like really kind of great and helpful as well, I've been telling, you know, actually the most important thing in school I learned from you was that I'm able to calculate 1 + 1 and multiply that by 2 as well. That's all I need to make money in the markets and kind of to make a decent living, you know, out of what I'm doing. And that's actually all. But the mindset in the end is set, as you are teaching about it, and is what is really key to be sustainable over a long term or over a long period of time in the markets, and actually when digesting also what's happening in the markets.
Right. So for you, what did you do when you shifted from working and trading on the side to going to trading full time? Did you give yourself a transition period? Did you save up a bunch of money and cut your expenses? Or how did you do that? What were the mechanics of that?
Yeah. So I'm in a way, in my mindset, I'm a bit German possibly, and possibly I'm rather easy to kind of cut down some expenses, because I thought as well, you know, like I was living decently and in a great flat, and was saying, okay, maybe it's time to kind of cut down and like getting like a little smaller flat, you know, because the living expenses, especially, it depends on where you are, but the living expenses in Asia can be very, very expensive as well. Yeah, even if it's just a few hundred bucks somewhere, but still it's adding up, you know, like going for a drink here, going for some quick food somewhere on the street. So I cut down my expenses a fair bit as well to make that less of a pressure in the back of my mind, which helped a lot. I started as well having a little bit of a side job, and I'm actually really, that's one of the interesting things which I can talk about. There are so many opportunities also doing stuff online, which is like a side job possibly to what you do, but it's something which consumes only time when you dedicate the time to that kind of job. That's only, you know, something where you work when you want to work and when you have the time to work. So the main focus for me was always on the charts. The main focus was always on my calculations on like for the actual trading positions. And when I was, say, in need of money, or when I was saying, okay, I still have some time left, you know, this week I haven't been doing much, so I can still do some work on the side. There's a few things where you can do easily adjust your life and say, okay, I have some sort of income which really works for me when I have the time to work for it. So that's how I did. And that really helped me as well then along the way. And my trading eventually got better as well. Of course, it's a market cycle. You cannot always say even your strategy is like, say, proven over time, but you always have like, you have like times or you have swings in the markets when your strategy just totally doesn't work. And we all go through that time. And, you know, of course, it's a bit difficult to say it's your mindset only which is doing, which is playing tricks on you, or it's the market which is like being very tricky to handle. And I know that as well. And especially the more I was going into the professional world, I mean, to the real fund managing world of trading, I learned that as well. But that's the most important stuff as well, to do something when you can do it on the side, to break away from your own mentally blockade in the head. I think that's what helped me a lot.
Right. So you keep it low pressure, and it's not like you feel like you have to make a certain percentage every month or something like that.
Exactly. So that's the initial thing which helped me, right? Cutting down my expenses. I know, okay, if I make, say, 1.5% per month, for example, that works with what I have in my trading account. And if it doesn't work for the next 3-4 months or something, I know, I mean, it's like a back-tested strategy, right? I know towards the end of the year, I'm definitely, anyway, making that amount. If even I don't get to my goal of making that amount in the markets, then, you know, like I still have my savings and can take it from the savings, which I've accounted for at the beginning. So low pressure is really the key, and especially the pressure we all do ourselves kind of have to deal with in our daily lives, the pressure we giving us ourselves is the one which really I was cutting down. And another thing as well, I think actually, Walter, was through you as well. I had a very good friend in Thailand, and she really enjoyed going to meditating in the temples, and through her, I kind of approached the way of meditation. And I have to say, I haven't done it over the recent month a fair bit, but beforehand, and especially at difficult times, stepping back, sitting down on the chair, like listening to these meditation videos, or just calming down yourself, taking a big breath in and out is really what helps. It's really what helps me calming down. And then after that, possibly having a tea or a coffee or something, and then waking up again, getting a bit more of adrenaline. And then you feel like, okay, now, you know, really I can do something. I can go out, do stuff, or I can sit back and do some trading. That's really what's the other approach as well, to balance myself, because the markets are tricky enough anyways to handle. But this is what really helps me.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of traders obviously use hypnosis or meditation to keep you in that state of mind, you know, stay mindful and be aware. And it's interesting. Like, I've found that sometimes for me, it's almost as if you can see yourself trading. So you it's almost like you're an observer. So if you have a certain mindset, if you've done some meditation and then you sit down in front of the charts almost immediately or run through a hypnosis track or something like that, you might actually find yourself in a way almost as if you were an observer of yourself trading. And that can be kind of a freeing way of approaching it. So instead of being so tied to the blips up and the blips down of your open trade and watching it fluctuate up and down and go against you and for you and against you and so forth, you can almost have an approach where you're like a, you know, just an observer watching yourself, and it's like a detached way of approaching it. And I just find it fascinating. But I don't know if that's something that you've experienced or not. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that. In depth, actually, when I was, as I just mentioned before, when I was with my good friend, she was like, she was also working in the media industry, and we went to like one of these big meditation temples in Thailand and Bangkok. And then my idea was just like to kind of observe the crowd, take some pictures of her and of the entire atmosphere. I think it was about 2,000 or 3,000 people sitting down there, all in white, and they were all like doing meditation. And after like a few seconds, when that master guy was sitting down, was like talking in Thai, I didn't understand a single word, but he was sitting down and then was like starting to talk about how you calm down, how you breathe in and out. And I could grasp a few words of that Thai language, but the thing was like, I kind of actually was throwing my camera in the corner and was like sitting down myself as well behind her, and was sitting down, closing my eyes. And that was when I had no expectations. I had no expectations about the entire thing, about the ceremony, so to speak, happening there. And I was just like totally relaxed. And that was really great. And then after like about 5 or 10 minutes, I think, he was doing this meditation for about half an hour to 45 minutes, where the first, say, 20 minutes he was talking about this peaceful state of mind. And then the other 20 minutes, you were just in this deep meditation phase, which was feeling like a few minutes only. But when, as I said, after these 5 or 10 minutes, I felt that I was like lifted above on this magic carpet, and I saw myself, and it only happens at that very first time when I had no expectations happening. I saw myself flying above me and observing me from above, and I was like so relaxed, which lasted for actually a couple of days after that event, which was great. So I said it happened never in a similar state or in a similar I wasn't as calm as I was at that time, but I always feel when I do the meditation or I did a hypnosis course as well, which also helped me, by the way. I feel that it helped me a lot, and I would encourage everybody that, as you said, if you don't observe yourself, or if you don't observe yourself that possibly like a magic hand is clicking the button of the mouse to kind of open your $1 million trade or whatever it is, or even if it's your $5 trade, it can be equally tricky to do so. The thing is, it helps me to calm down. It helps me to distract myself from the chance. It helps me to distract my glued eyes from the screen, possibly, and just helps me to kind of step back and be passionate about my job, my career, but not being only focused on, hey, I need to make money. It's just to detach myself. That's maybe the correct explanation. To detach myself from my mindset kicking in, saying, okay, when this happens and when I lose, I can lose whatever X amount of my account or X amount of funds, you know. It happens to detach myself from any involvement of my mindset, to being like totally flat about any feelings, which is possibly the right way to say, just being like worry-free, just opening and closing any position if it makes sense in the markets. And that's what I've achieved also due to the change of the mindset while doing hypnosis or doing meditation session. And it's easy, you know, like it sometimes just takes as little as 5 or 10 minutes. I have a few interesting meditation possibilities as well. Some are even actually available free on the internet, and I'm happy to share those ones. It takes a few minutes only, right? So say when I'm getting up in Asia here, maybe 10, 11 in the morning, you know, because I've been trading till rather late at night, and I'm just like getting myself into the peaceful state of mind when I start to work trading the European or the American markets. That's actually then before, when I take these 5 or 10 minutes, especially when you have like an empty stomach rather, or let's just have had a bit of a fruit juice or something in the morning, prepare yourself, do that meditation, say 10 minutes is enough actually, and then you're really relaxed yourself, and then you can move on with your daily routine, but you're detached from the emotional issues you might get when you're really at the chance.
Yeah, and I think I've always had this theory that it helps if you live in Asia to have that sort of a morning routine, because if you live, say, in Europe or in the U.S., the first thoughts when you wake up might be something like, well, I wonder what my trade's doing. So you want to go and look. Whereas in Asia, it's so quiet, sometimes you might not be in a trade, or even if you are, it's quite quiet, so it's not that, you don't feel like you're on edge, I suppose, as you would, you know, in Europe or in the States or something like that. So Frank, so talk a little bit about what it's like as a trader, you know, transitioning. So you had this experience where you started to take it more seriously like a job, and then you got to the point where you started to take clients on. And I'm just curious if you've noticed whether clients tend to request that you take more risk on than you're comfortable with after a particularly good segment. So let's say you had a good 2 months or something like that, and your clients, do they ask you, okay, can't you just bump up the risk on this so we can make more money or things like that? Do you find those sorts of things pop up?
Haven't to me actually, but the thing is, I've had, especially this year, it wasn't like overwhelming for me. I'm up a couple of percent, you know, that's all good, you know, my clients made money. Say 2014, roughly 20%, last year also roughly the same, you know, like this year I'm just up couple of percent, you know, like no worries about it. And I'm always telling the clients, like, hey, look, you've placed a fund with me, right? We've made some interest for you. You've left the funds in your account, so they've also like grown as well. So the initial trading volume went up already anyways, you know, like, and through that compounding, I would call it, it really worked as well. So essentially say if this account would be up only like 6-7%, they're net up more than 10% already because the initial approach was a different one. But the thing is, no, they haven't actually. They've always left me alone. They've always said like, hey, you know, we trust you. You do what you want and you think what you're able to do. And just send us a statement whenever you're ready and just like talk about it. It's the main, say the main average client I'm having. There's also one guy who's like placed actually the, yeah, not much with me, but still, since he's a good friend of mine, you know, like I've taken his account on board and he's the one, he called me rather often and said like, hey, you did this trade, I saw that, but that was losing, you know, like, how about the next one? I said like, dude, you know, maybe it's not the correct stuff we're doing together. Maybe you should just look for a fixed deposit or just like, yeah, detach your eyes from that account and look on it only at the month end or only at the end of the of each quarter. This doesn't help me as well. You know, like if I question every trade I'm taking, it's just too tricky for me. So eventually, like after a year, when he saw, okay, Frank, it's going to be up anyways towards the end of the time period when we do the next calculation stuff. So he was getting it more easy, actually. But no, I've had no clients who said that directly to me. There was just like another two guys who were saying, okay, we can see something in the market. So this year has been okay, but you know you can perform better. So why don't you take more risk? I said, you know, eventually it could be the other way around, right? So that we kind of lose quite a bit of what we've only got together towards the end of the year. So it's a double-edged sword, right? So no, I didn't have it directly. And I've always said like to, I was say to each and everyone, that's my risk. And I'm rather defensive in approach. And there's certain things you can definitely do once things are not going your way. But still, on the other hand as well, the approach is what I do, and that's how I do it. If people want to have more risk, I could just increase the leverage for their respective accounts. But normally, I just like do it the way I like to do it, where I'm feeling comfortable with. Because that's at the end of the day, you got to be comfortable within your comfort zone, and within you got to stay within your trading strategy and just like get that going only, and not just fulfill a need or the idea of somebody who has placed some funds. And I would rather say, okay, then withdraw all your funds, do something else with it. But I want to be comfortable with what I'm doing in my trading career, because else it doesn't help you and me as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to be the case that the smaller accounts are always the ones that are watching it like a hawk.
Yeah, too. very much. Whereas the guy who placed like a quarter of a million, he says, look, well, anyway, I'm having my big business, you know, whatever you do is what you do, you know, like, leave it on. And if it's all lost, it's all lost. Because anyway, I know it's a way of gambling what we're doing, but it's a way of structured gambling, as he calls it. And I mean, I'll leave him in his approach and in his idea, but he's the easiest one, actually. Actually, the guys who are placing the bigger funds are the ones who are really having a business background. They have the mentality of making money anyways. They know how difficult or how easy it is to make money in the real business world of things. And they are the ones who also know very much, actually, that it comes with a certain risk. But they are not the ones who are like having, say, their hands on all their money, because anyways, they diversify very much. They have possibly some real estate as well, or have some luxury watches or something they collect, or some precious metals they have in their basement, whatever it is. And they know very much that, and I as well know myself that, say, for example, this one client, a quarter of a million, right? So it's a lot of money, of course. But, you know, for him, I know the entire assets he's having. So I would know myself as well, if that would be in the end all gone, I would know that he would not kind of ending up on the streets and begging, you know, because there's so many other things he's having on the edge as well. And it's a matter of the scale as well, in that perspective. So and that's what you want, especially when growing big. You want it to be, say, actually rather easy as well. And there's a fellow friend of ours here, also a frequently noted guy, he's been saying as well, it's easier to make a few percent when you have 2-3 millions, and you can live your life a bit easier as well. Just to get to that state of mind as well is the key. And that's what we really should talk about as well when meeting up, about these things, like how to develop, again, mindset, how to develop the easiness of things, you know, when you're growing to that stage. Because really, it becomes easier as well. Say as well, you need like one or two trades, right, to be up for the month. and I'm only aiming, say, 1.5%, 2%, 3% possibly. Once you've done that, you can necessarily, you can quit trading, right? You can quit trading for the end of the month. You can just go to the beach, play football, or go surfing, as you still enjoy, I assume, playing time with your kids. You know, that's what really matters, actually, and that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, yeah. Do you find it's easy to, or have you adapted to trading on the road? Like, say, you go back to Germany or whatever. Do you stay on top of the markets when you're still trading, or do you just shut it down when you take off?
A few things, and that's also like going back to the core strategy. I reduce my risk necessarily, or I even stop trading fully and say, like, guys, you know, like, I've done something, I'm okay. I haven't done that yet, but actually what I'm also planning to do next year onwards that I really would say is, well, okay, guys, you know, month end, even if it's at the 10th or the 12th or the 15th of the month, right? I'm planning to say, like, guys, monthly straight statement sending out, we've achieved, say, 2-3% already. I won't be trading anymore, but that's what we've done for the month. Because essentially the customer feels great as well, right? Once you, at the mid of the month, you receive, so to speak, your paycheck from your investment company or something, as I would see myself in a way, right? You receive your paycheck at the mid of the month and you have the result, which you normally get at the end of the month. It must be good, you know. I mean, I have two clients who really enjoy, you know, my little PDF documents. And when they have these ones in their hand, they say, like, okay, Frank, we got to pay you. But actually, that's the nicest statement I had. We really enjoy paying you because, you know, you helped us a lot, right? So I can't get that kind of interest anywhere else. So that's really good fun.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this, Frank. When you take trades for your clients, do you mirror them in your own account, or is your own account also put in the pool, in the PAM or whatever with the other accounts? Or how do you do that?
Yeah, it's essentially all the same, and it's to protect myself as well in a way, because I know using or handling money for others is just a bit easier compared to my own funds, right? The first times I was, say, burning some funds for myself, I was talking about it as well. The transitioning time was happening. I got pro in the markets. I was working for big guys as well in the markets. And at that time, I noticed that it's easier in a way to handle money for others, because there's two things involved. First of all, there's your name involved. If you kind of burn it all, you know, like, they're gonna sue you possibly, or your name is being kind of everywhere in the web or within the industry of saying, okay, this guy has a clue, but just a clue how to make out of a million just $1,000 possibly. So he's able only to reduce my funds. You don't want to do that. So that's one thing. And that's what you're gonna do as well. Your mindset needs to change a little bit and say, like, okay, risk approach need to be very, very, very much in line with your goals, and like, take the risk only that you can take. And if the risk is getting kind of at that, to that point, and your trade possibly is on the losing end, cut the trade short. As simple as that. It sounds always so easy, but the mentality as well afterwards is the same you need, right? You cut your losing position short. And if you can do that, then you can move on. And I do the same thing. So I've made the approach, and the guys' funds I'm handling are all like close people to me anyways. And these guys also taught me that lesson as well. So I mirror all the trades. It's all the same, actually. I've been telling the same stuff as well. I've been talking about it and saying, well, if you want to have lower risk, we can do that. Obviously, say, instead of making possibly 20% in the year, you can just possibly only getting 10% out of your funds. But of course, say, to make the 10%, the overall risk, I would say it would be between 5-6%. And if that's what the client wants, I can just do that just by reducing the leverage of the trading account. But nobody has done that with me. They've all said, like, okay, take your, say, normal full risk approach to it. Just include my account in the same method. And in a similar way, I've just put my money into the accounts, and I'm trading the same as for each and everyone. So it works out the best that way for me. You know, like, all accounts combined, and then one trade being mirrored onto all, say, sub accounts in this case.
Right. And so when you say 5-6% risk, are you talking about risk of a drawdown? Are you talking about risk per trade? What do you mean when you said 5-6%? Is that 5-6% returns?
Now it's a bit part of the core strategy I'm driving in the markets. I would say per trade I take in the markets, I want to make a reward of 2. And per trade I'm taking, I want to have a risk of one. So I'm always aiming to make, say, $200 of the market, but only want to risk $100, right? So a 2-to-1 reward to risk ratio. That means as well, if I'm aiming towards 20% around the year end, I would talk to the customers that way. They would say, okay, in order to aim 20% towards year end, your account would be rather at risk for about 10%. That's actually the actual numbers I've kind of accumulated over the years of trading, and these are the actual numbers which work for me as well to kind of sleep comfortably most of the time. Once in a while it does work, but still, that's it. And my overall drawdown is actually fairly low. It's about 3-4. The maximum I think I had was 4.7% or something of a maximum drawdown. So all open positions combined went against me for that number. So that's actually what really makes me sleeping well, and that's what makes me actually worrying less as well. And of course, that's something which you can sell quite well, right? So if you sell, okay, if you're saying as well, hey, maximum drawdown 5%, year-end return 20%, whoo, that works. That's really good fun, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. So that's great. So describe a little bit about your daily routine. So for example, would there ever be a case where you've had a good first week of the month, so the last 3 weeks of the month you actually aren't trading, so you're doing something different? Or how do you approach your trading each day? Because obviously living in Asia most of the year, that means that when you wake up, it's the Asian session and it's usually quite quiet. There isn't really a whole lot going on. I mean, there are exceptions, but how do you approach it from a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. Okay. To put it simple, waking up, meditation, coffee, trading, beer, sleep. But that's actually not going to happen anyways. No, it's I'm getting up, I'm preparing myself, as I spoke about earlier on, I'm preparing myself, I'm getting ready. If I'm having open positions, I observe them. Every now and then I'm meeting friends or they ask me out for lunch, for coffee or something. And I always adjust my positions accordingly. Either I cut them a bit short, maybe I add to them as well, but I always have like a stop loss or take profit in place so that my positions are really working along my daily routine. And the beauty of this kind of job is that you can adjust your time to your environment. You can adjust your daily routine to the markets as well. Of course, in a way, if there's news events happening, you got to adjust your working environment to that news event, which is very important. But on the other hand, it's a floating process, and I have no correct way where I'd say this is the way to go. My day is just like as beautiful and colorful as it should be, I think. You know, like if my mom is coming and visiting me, we're spending some time out there, you know, like especially when I had some couple of percent profits really already banked in the account, it makes it easier. If not, I maybe step back and say, okay, next month is also a month where I can kind of be engaged and involved in the market. So that's the thing, you know. And if my friends are calling me, you know, we have a dinner, I sometimes say as well, okay, I'm telling you later on if I can make it. Sometimes I might postpone my decision as well and say like, hey guys, I can't make it because I have to stay close to my positions. I don't want to kind of drift away from them. So it's a bit of it's floating thing, and I'm adjusting myself really to what's happening and how I'm feeling comfortable with interacting with the charts and the market.
Right. Yep. And that makes perfect sense. So when you've had a good time and or a good period, a good month or a good quarter or something like that, you'll generally take some time off then.
Definitely. Of course, sometimes I'm also if I want to meet some friends in Thailand, and I'm quite often there because I really enjoy it, getting like a foot massage or having like a cocktail by the beach and stuff, you know, meeting good old friends in Bangkok. That really makes my life as well, as I said, like a bit more colorful, to just really enjoy this self-employedness, or like say enjoying the world of being self-employed, doing what you really always have wanted to do. And it sounds a bit easy, but that's how I make it easy. We have the tricky thing like dealing with the markets, which can be frustrating. And of course, to me, it sometimes is as well. But you have to kind of turn around and say like, okay, life is colorful and life is difficult as well. But we have to make it easy, you know, like we have to enjoy the good stuff as well. And that's why we live on this beautiful world as well. And that's what we really want to do. That's the most important thing of being alive and like living that moment. I mean, living that really moment intensively, or very intensive. And that's exactly what I do to make, say, trading easier as well, just by having my life more colorful and beautiful and meeting lots of friends as much as I can do.
That's great. So here, let's just kind of probe into your mindset and how you, because when we start out and we start trading, sometimes it can be a little bit depressing, or you feel like you're never going to make it work, or things like that. So can you tell us a little bit about how your approach was to trading? So for example, you might have said, look, I'm going to make this work. I know I'm going to make it work. Eventually, I'm going to make it work, right? I'm going to just figure this out. Or was it something like you did a lot of data, you have a lot of data, so you're really data-driven. You did a lot of backtesting and you saw your numbers in your backtesting, and so that was what convinced you that it would work. What was it that you could hang your hat on when you first started and you say, like, I know this is going to work? How did you do that?
Also, in my previous job, I always had the mentality that when I want something, I'm working as much as I can to kind of get what I want. And that helped me in lots of aspects in my life as well. And I can answer that very short. I've just always wanted to be in this trading environment, and I found ways in pursuing that career. And I'm really staying in this career just because I want it. I just have these really big fixed stars, say, in the sky where I look at and say, like, hey, that's what I want to go. That's what I want to do. And that's, in the end, also what I will do. So, and that's what happens to me and what happened. So I was not always big in backtesting and stuff. I was been doing something, but of course, eventually I know I have the trust and the confidence in myself that's going to work. And it is working. Well, I'm a proven example for it. So that helps me. It's the confidence I'm having. It's the charts I'm seeing. And then by starting, say, maybe demos and just trading some demo accounts and bringing those ones up and mirroring trades on my real account as like a floating process as well. Those two worlds are being like, being like combined into one. And then I just eventually also saw that my real accounts were growing. So I know that things just work in the markets to me. And it's the stretch of the mindset again in this case, which helped me pursuing this career, and a few incidents actually which helped me as well, which really make it work. That's basically it. So no big data, no really crunching of all that stuff in very detail, but just observing, say, your account, checking your account online. There's a few great websites where you can track your account, crunch, have your numbers crunched actually in that account on that website, where you eventually also know that, okay, you're on the right track, right? Every trade I make 200, 400, or 1,000 bucks. Every trade I lose lesser than that. So in the end, you know, then you have a good win rate possibly as well. You know that radio account is kind of meant to grow because you stay in that certain parameters where nothing much can't go utterly wrong if you don't vary from that approach, that it's working. And that's basically it.
Right. And so if you had to, just sort of in closing here, if you had to say one thing that you give as a piece of advice, so someone who's maybe not profitable yet, but thinking, you know, I really want to make this work. I want to get to the point where I'm managing money so I can leverage that for my, you know, getting paid myself off my trading. What would you say to them? You know, things to avoid or things to do, or how is it that you would, you know, suggest that they tailor their approach to their trading? What should they do?
Actually, it's too easy to talk about it, I think, in a way, right? So it's like just limit your risks very much. Cut down your risks per trade on your account, just to be able to keep your funds in your account for future trading when you're pro. And on the way of getting pro, just read as much books as you can, read as many books as you can, and listen to as many so-called gurus as you can. Just listen to the guys who kind of know what you need to do in order to make trading sustainable. And just by listening to those guys, by reading books and just like getting knowledge going, that's when you know that you're really on the right track. Just beware, of course, this takes time and it's not working within a month or two or three, at least I've not met anyone yet. It takes maybe a few years. For me, it took me maybe 5 to 6 years actually to really approach that mindset, which works in the markets. And that's the only chance you have. You have to give yourself time, and you have to give yourself lots of time to kind of digest everything, being willing to learn over and over again in the markets, and you'll eventually always get beaten up every now and then again, and you kind of take that as a lesson, and then just adapt your risk accordingly to those situations. That's the only thing which really works.
Yep. Well said. So, just curious, what are some of the book titles that you found most useful, just for people who are listening?
Oh, as well as, I mean, maybe some of these basic books like How is Warren Buffett Trading? It doesn't help you really much in the world of trading, but of course, you get some interesting insights on like limiting, on how he is limiting his risks. Another guy as well, Ed Ponti, really a very good mentor of mine as well. He's been writing a few books about charting analysis and stuff. Your books about your trading mentality are really helpful as well. You know, everything which is related to trading, possibly first, you want to build a strategy for yourself as well. So get something where you get like a bit of a confidence or a bit of a technical approach, which is at least my way, on the charts and how you can build trades. And on the other hand as well, get your mindset right, which is important as well to becoming pro. So whatever books you can find, I think, are really useful for you to trade.
Excellent. That's great advice. Thanks so much, Frank, for spending time with us, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the conference.
All right. It'll be cool. I'm looking forward as well, and I hope that lots of you guys can or will attend as well, because it was just, Walter, when was it? It was just a couple of years back, actually, when we met, and when I was like one of the students sitting back in the row and was looking at what you had to talk about, and now we are actually in the same boat, talking about the same stuff, about the transitioning time we had, and on the way to getting pro, it's really good fun. And don't be afraid. If you really wish to kind of do what you really have always wanted to do, as in becoming a trader, get yourself lots of knowledge and give yourself loads of time as well, because you need it. And of course, patience. And eventually, it's going to happen. If you really want it, it's going to happen and work.
Great. That's great advice. Thanks so much, Frank, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
All right. Cheers, buddy. Thanks a lot, Walter. Take care. Bye-bye.